ask your continued interest in your prayers this morning. I believe this will be our concluding message for the armor of God. Been on it much longer than I thought we would, but that's okay with me. We're going to follow the leadership of the Spirit, and if He wants us to stay there longer, then we'll just keep preaching on it. But I've lost track. I don't know how many messages we've preached on this, but we've come down to the latter part of what the Apostle Paul has to say with regard to this armor of God. So what have we learned? What do we have that with which we can battle all the temptations that we face from Satan, from our own flesh, and from the world? What have we learned? I hope we've learned something. If nothing else, I hope your mind and your heart has been stirred to be more in remembrance of our need for these things as we get up and start our day each week, each day and each week that we live. And so what do we have? We've talked about a lot. We've talked about, as Paul listed these things, he compared each one to a piece of armor. But when you get up and start your day, you don't put on, you don't look like a Spartan when you leave for work or when you are going about your day. At least I haven't seen any lately. But what do we have? We've got truth. And that truth enables us to be strong and to stand upon whatever Satan would unleash upon us. We've got truth. If we understand and know the truth, we can stand upon that in the face of whatever lies we might hear in the world. We've got righteousness. Not because we're so good, but because God is so good that He sent His Son to this world to save us from our sins. God the Father hath made Him, the Son, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. We stand before God in the righteousness of Christ. I tell you, you've got something there. For Jesus' sake, God blesses us each day. But that righteousness that Christ came and perfectly displayed to us, we are taught in His Word of how we are to live our life. And so we are to live righteously. We're to put on, we're to adorn the teachings of God so that as we live our life, others can see a righteous life when we've put it on. Remember, we've said you have to put it in order to put it on. Okay? So we've got truth. If I didn't believe that we had the truth, I'd be out there searching some other church, somewhere else, where I felt like was closer to what the Bible teaches. But bless your hearts, I am happy to be right where I am. Because as we look at God's truth, as we look at His righteousness, then we understand we are nothing before God as far in and of ourselves. But in Christ we are everything to Him. He gave His only begotten Son to die in our room instead. We are everything to Him in Christ. And He's given that to us. Aren't we privileged? Aren't we blessed? Isn't that glorious? What He's done for us. Truth. He's blessed us to see and understand and know His Word. We want to know more of it, don't we? We want to understand more of it, but He's given us that opportunity. He's given us His Word in our language. I'm going to tell you something, as I said recently, the longer I live, the more I study the Bible, the more convinced I am that the hand of God's providence was with those who translated the King James translation of what we have is the Holy Scriptures. There's just too much in history. There's just too much coincidence. Too much to be coincidence as far as the timing of God, as far as the condition of our language. It was at its peak at that time when it was brought into English. I mean, there's just so much that you can study about and understand that the hand of God was in bringing His Word into our language. Aren't you glad you don't have to read Greek and Hebrew? You know, my goodness. And those people today who think they want to correct the Word of God, do you think those scholars today understand the Greek and Hebrew better than they did back in 1611? That doesn't make any sense at all. And so, He's given us His truth, His righteousness. He's given us His righteousness. And we should wear it proudly. We should adorn ourselves with His teaching. And live before others righteously, according to the way Jesus gave us an example to live our lives. That's when we're putting it on. So we got truth, we got righteousness. What else do we have? We don't have shoes for our feet. You know, literally, we don't have shoes for our feet, do we? What do we have? The preparation of the gospel of peace. That Jesus died for us. Reconciled us, made peace between us and God. That's what the angels proclaimed when Jesus was born into this world. Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace. Goodwill toward men. That peace is what Jesus brought and what He wrought in reconciling us unto God. It's not anything we did, but what Christ did for us. This is part of the armor. And so we can go forth. We can walk in this life with the remembrance of this glorious gospel of peace that Jesus has redeemed us and reconciled us unto the Father. And nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Now, as far as our walk, as far as the decisions we make, we can disturb our fellowship with God. But we're not going to remove the relationship. We are safe in the blood of Jesus. And we can go forth in this world rejoicing in that gospel, the preparation of the gospel of peace. Preparing our heart, preparing our mind each day to go forth in that way. He's also given us a shield. I didn't see anybody bring in a shield this morning. But I hope you had your faith with you. You know, we understand that as we always lay that foundation, faith is something that's given in the new birth, but how we use it and how perfected it is as far as our use of it varies greatly, doesn't it? But in everything we face, when He says, above all, taking the shield of faith. Not that the shield of faith is more important than anything else, but that it is involved in everything else. That is all the Christian graces. If we are going to forgive somebody, we do it by faith. If we are trying to help somebody, we do it by faith. If we rejoice in these truths, then we do it by faith. Being blessed to understand what God has done for us. Everything that we do in service to God and in service to one another, it needs to be by faith, shouldn't it? So faith is integrally a part of everything that we do in Christian service. But it also quenches the fiery darts of the wicked. You ever get one of those darts? Somebody ever wound you with their words? Have you ever been trying to do what was right and somebody didn't like it or somebody disagreed or, you know, something hit you that stung? What can you do? Trust God. Just keep trusting the Lord. Keep trusting that He knows our heart. He knows what we're trying to accomplish in the way of serving Him. He knows that our motives are pure, so we can trust the Lord. Now, we can be proactive about this, can't we? As we begin our day, we should say, Lord, I'm going to need your help. And by beginning your day trusting the Lord before you get into some situation, it'll help absorb that a whole lot better. You'll be in a better frame of mind to respond to whatever adversity that you have for that day. A shield of faith. Is it big? Is it small? All right? You know, Jesus admonished his disciples we went through some of that as we went through the shield of faith. You know, there were times when Jesus said, where's your faith? Are you trusting the Lord? Are you trusting yourself? Did you leave your shield at home and did you go out trusting in yourself? You know, if we forget the Lord and go about our own way, then we've left our shield at home. Jesus said on one occasion, why is it that you have no faith? As if to say, I don't see it. Is anybody seeing your faith as you go through the week? Do they see it? Where's your faith? There were times that Jesus said, oh, ye of little faith. Not trusting very much. When we get our mind off the Lord, we forget. We let these things slip. All right, so we've got faith. We've got faith as a shield. What else do we have? He speaks of a helmet. I don't see anybody here wearing a helmet. What it is the hope of salvation. Remembering the salvation. See, there's a lot of overlap here, isn't there? All right, you know, and it's good that armor overlaps some, doesn't it? All right, so there's not gaps in that armor. All right, well, we've got overlap in a lot of ways in this hope of salvation, remembering the righteousness that we have in Christ and all that we've talked about so far, but the hope of salvation, that when the troubles of this life are over, when our days here have come to an end, bless your hearts, what Jesus has already done for us has secured a home in heaven where we'll never have any more of the problems that we faced in this life. The hope of salvation. It's like a helmet that protects your head. So if we keep these things in memory, like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 2, he says, or in verse 1, he said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you've received, and wherein ye stand, and by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you. All right, so there's a saving influence in remembering what Christ has done for us. And then the sword. I don't see any swords. But what is that sword? Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That word will help us. Jesus used that word in fighting against Satan. Now, I'm going to put it that way. What he did was rebuke Satan when Satan was tempting him, Matthew 4, when Jesus was led out into the wilderness and tempted of Satan for 40 days, 40 nights. Every time Satan came against him, trying to tempt him to do something, Jesus responded with Scripture, with the Word of God, the sword. All right? So hopefully that's a good enough thumbnail sketch of what we've been talking about. Now, is there anything else that we need in facing the devil, in dealing with our own flesh, and in dealing with the world? Is there anything else that we need? Well, there's one more. One more. Prayer. We need prayer on a regular basis. And if you notice how this is worded, I'm in Ephesians chapter 6. And after he says, and take the helmet, verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Then verse 18 says, praying always. Praying always. Now think about that. What we find here is he's gone through this list of the different types of armor, and he's spiritually applied it to what we need in the way of truth, righteousness, the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, or the hope of salvation, and the word of God. We need all of that, don't we? We need all of that to be able to stand against the wiles of Satan, and having done all to stand, all right? But with all of it, and for all of it, we need prayer. And I hope that your prayer life is full and vibrant. I hope that you're really attending to prayer, because this is where you're going to receive the power. This is where you're going to receive the encouragement for each day. This is where you're going to receive much of the help that we need to face this battle. Are we just ignoring the battle and rushing about our day? Or are we preparing ourselves by putting on our armor? And by the way, prayer is a large part of putting this armor on, so that we can be strengthened, so that we can be energized. We need to be praying in the Spirit. Now, like I said, I hope your prayer life is strong and vibrant. You know, many times I talk about my favorite George Washington quote, where he said one time that he felt like he needed to repent even of his prayers. Sometimes that happens, right? Well, if we know that, then we know how to fix that. Humble ourselves before God. Now, you say, well, preacher, somebody's lifted up in pride. It's hard for them to humble themselves. Well, if you'll start asking the Lord to help you to see yourself as you really are, if you'll ask Him to give you understanding of what you need in serving Him, and as He begins to show you those areas of your life that needs to improve, then you need to start confessing those things to Him. It's not that you're going to acquaint Him with anything, is it? He knows everything already. But there's something about that exercise of sincerely confessing our sins and our shortcomings to God that strengthens the inner man. To confess is to say the same thing. If the Spirit of God is revealing to us something that's a shortcoming or a flaw in our practice, in our character, or whatever it might be, and it doesn't take the Lord long when you're in that frame of mind asking Him to help you, He can find something really quick to show you what needs to be worked on. Prayer. It is so vitally important. I think this is a praying church, and I'm thankful for that. But I also think that we've all got room for improvement. If we ever get to the point where we think we don't have room for improvement, we're in trouble. Satan's got us right where he wants us. Right? All right. So we can all improve in our prayer life. You agree with that? Thank you. I appreciate it. All right. Just like faith is an overall thing, that no matter what aspect of this armor we're talking about, faith needs to be a part of it, because we're trusting in God. We're trusting in what He's done for us. We're trusting in what He does for us. We're trusting that He will yet do for us, right? All right, so faith is that overall aspect of using this armor, putting it on, and trusting the Lord for what we need. But prayer is what energizes that. Without it, our prayer might be a dead faith. You know, our faith might be dead, you know, like James talks about. All right, without prayer, without sincere prayer, and you know what I'm talking about. Anybody can say words. You know, most of us probably can quote the Lord's Prayer. Not because of repetitive reading in the Word, but because maybe because of where you've heard it and saying it along with others, right? At least that's the way I learned it. I didn't learn it from church. I learned it in school. What a blessing that was. You know, even though my teacher was of another denomination, yet still there were things that she taught us, even in school, that I know wouldn't be allowed today, but I had that privilege back then. You can say the words, but we're talking about real prayer, right? There is a difference. Praying. I think I preached on that not too many months ago. Real praying. All right? Let me ask you a question. I want you to remember this question. I want you to carry it with you. Think about it in the days ahead. Do you feel your need for help? Do you feel your need for help strong enough to stay in prayer for God's mercy and strength? Do you feel it strong enough to stay in prayer for God to help you? Do we feel it? Do we realize there is a battle raging in this world? And Satan is leading the charge to get our minds off of God and onto anything else besides God and godliness. That battle's raging. You know it is. I'm not telling you anything new, am I? It's raging. Whether it's in the workplace, whether it's in our schools, whether it's in our homes, wherever the case might be, it's raging in this world. And so much of this armor is put on by putting it in to our mind, keeping it in the forefront of our mind, keeping it in remembrance. So do we feel the need strong enough to continue to ask God for help and to the strength that we need to face this battle in a way that would be pleasing to Him? See, that's how we walk in this life, or that's how a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ would walk, in a way that would be pleasing unto Him. You know, I'm afraid, I've been guilty of it myself, that we can get into that habit of our prayers are dominated by, give me this, give me that, give me, give me, give me. You know, the kids used to have a little book called Berenstain Bears Get the Gimmies. Remember that? You ever gotten into that spiritually? It's okay to ask the Lord for what you need. He wants us to come to Him in prayer and ask for what we need. But it's also very healthy for us to be asking more for the needs of others. Others. Have our minds set upon how could we be a blessing to others while we go through this life. He knows what we need personally. It pleases Him for us to come to Him and ask Him for the things that we need. But it also pleases Him for us to be mindful of others. That's the whole of what Jesus came to do, to die for others. So, think back over the last week. How much time have we spent praying for others? How much activity have we spent for others? It's an attitude, isn't it? It's a frame of mind. We need to realize the battle is raging and prayer is so much of the getting started on the right foot every day. That's why Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread, right? Give us this day. There's no reason, you know, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We're not to take thought for tomorrow. It's not here yet. Doesn't mean you can't plan. Doesn't mean you can't have goals to work on. But what it means is there's plenty to be concerned about today, that we would be faithful to the Lord, that we would be a positive influence in the kingdom of God, and that we would try to do what we can to walk in a way that's pleasing to Him today, because the grace that we need today will be used up, and when tomorrow comes, there'll be more grace available to us tomorrow. Prayer is so important. It's where our energy in service to God comes from. Recently, I heard someone say something about, you know, when you pray, don't get up and run off. You know, as soon as you say amen, don't get up and run off so quickly. You've spent time talking to God. Now, spend a little time waiting to hear from Him. Now, I've mentioned this several times, but how sweet it is when you've poured out your heart to God in prayer. How sweet it is for those thoughts that come to us when we'll be still and know that He's God. Perhaps we're not getting the kind of instruction that we need because we're not waiting to hear it. Prayer is so important. And so as Paul is ending up, by the leadership of the Spirit, as he's ending up this message on the armor of God, he's saying, praying always. What does he say in verse 18? Ephesians 6 and 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. See how others are brought into this? Praying always, he says, with all prayer and supplication. With all prayer and supplication. We're talking about the kind of prayer that James talks about. Effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. How much is your prayer? Now, I realize there are lots of times we're praying for others and we don't really know just what's being provided. We don't know the answers, but there are times when we can see that God has answered our prayers. Especially when we gather and go over our prayer list and give an opportunity to give some updates on those folks that are there. And some of the folks that we have on our prayer list are far removed from us and we don't know much about them. But how wonderful it is from time to time to hear that good report of somebody that's doing better, that's been blessed, and they don't need to be on our list any longer. Isn't that wonderful? And I tell you, our spirit rejoices when we think about we had the privilege of praying for those folks. Now, that's not that we get boastful or anything because we feel like that we did it. God does it. He gets all the glory. And I mean all the glory. But what a blessing that we have the desire upon our heart to participate in that and then see God's will unfold. And we have that assurance then that we were in His will. What a blessing. With all prayer and supplication. Some of that supplication when we're asking for ourselves. It's okay to do that. He already knows our needs. He's probably already done a lot toward supplying that need when we ask. I believe they'll know the answer to this, but have you ever had a prayer on your heart and you prayed a lot about it and everything and you got an answer? And when you realize what the answer was, you look back and God had started working on that before you ever started praying about it. I'm telling you, it happens. It's happened to me. And I tell you, that puts some wind in your sails, doesn't it? When you can feel that God, before I even had sense enough to know the need, God was being merciful and loving and providing for us. Oh, we've got a great God, don't we? And he has a great love for us. Why wouldn't we begin our day asking him for the instructions and for the grace to show us what we need to do to stay in the center of his will each day? That's where you're going to find the most peace and joy in this life. In the center of his will. And there's no better way to find that than in prayer. To continue to be praying unto him with all prayer and supplication. All right, so he says, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. In the Spirit. True prayer comes from the heart anyway, doesn't it? The leadership of the Spirit. I mean, if it doesn't come from the heart, if it's just coming from the head, it's really not being aided by the Spirit. From the heart. Impressions of the heart and mind. The Spirit of God moving within us. We need that so much. Prayer, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So that kind of focus leads us to success against Satan and his devices. Because the Spirit will show us. The Spirit will reveal what's happening. And so we need that. Supplication, prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Supplication for ourselves, intercession for others. That's how we have a better idea of that effectual and fervent prayer. I want to notice a couple of passages. Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. It touches on real prayer. Real prayer. Real praying. That which is coming from within us. That which the Spirit's moving us to do. Romans chapter 8, let's notice verse 26. Verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Now we're talking about praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Paul says here in Romans 8, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, our weaknesses. The places where we come short, where we realize that we're not capable of doing what's needed. But in praying, God will help us to see that he will strengthen us. He will bring us through. Praying, he said, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Do you believe that? We don't know just exactly how we ought to pray about some things. We just don't. Oh, but we think we do. How often have we been firmly convinced, this is what I need? Maybe you just poured out your heart about that particular matter. Seemingly to no avail. The Spirit intercedes for us. We need to remember. We need to always remember. We don't know how to pray as we ought. Now what he says? For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Well, if that is our true condition, and it is, we need help, don't we? We need help. Not only help for the needs that we have, but help to understand how we to pray. My goodness. So prayer is not all that automatic, is it? We need to ask the Lord to help us to understand how to pray and what to pray for. In other words, we're humbling ourselves before God and saying, Lord, you know I don't. And you're the one that's able to bless. And you know what you will bless. And so, Lord, help me. I'm ignorant. I don't know how many times I have to confess that. I'm ignorant of what's needed. But, Lord, you know perfectly your will and the need and what you're willing to do about it. What if we approached every desire in life in that way? To know God's will in the matter. And don't just go off asking for all kinds of things that we have thought of, but asking for God's will to be done. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Okay? All right. The Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself. Oh, sounds like to me we've got some help here. The Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. God is not limited to whatever words you can frame and present to Him. He discerns the very thoughts and the intents of the heart. He's touched, as Hebrews 4 says, He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Not the thoughts that we've expressed to Him about our infirmities, but the very feelings, the very groanings. Have you ever been so distraught that all you could do was groan in your attempt to pray? I dare say praying like that could be much more beneficial than lofty words. Because it's the feeling. The feeling. The need. Are you feeling your need for God's help? If we don't feel the need for God's help, I doubt seriously we're doing very much to try to put on the armor He's given us. Right? Do we feel the need? I'm not talking about emotionalism. I'm talking about honestly coming to God and saying, Lord, I need your help. I'm weak. In so many ways, I'm ignorant. But Lord, you have the help that I need. The Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Lord Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father to make intercession for us. We communicate with Him in spirit, and that Spirit maketh intercession for us. We have help, brethren. We've got the help we need. So we need to avail ourselves to it, don't we? All right? So that's Romans 8:26. Now, go to Luke 11, Luke chapter 11. If you're familiar with that portion of Luke, you know that this is right after the disciples came to Jesus and said, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. I suspect John the Baptist did a good job of teaching his disciples to pray. Some of Jesus' apostles were John's disciples. Lord, teach us to pray. I like the way that's worded. Teach us to pray. You know, that's one thought, teach us to pray. But the other thought is teach us how to pray. And I think both of those are embraced in this lesson. And then he gives us this model prayer. And you know that. I don't want to take the time to go through that. But after he finishes giving them the model prayer, things to remember that we need to be praying for, in verse 5 he says, And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight and say to him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Now, do you have a friend like that? That you could go to at midnight and knock on their door and ask them for something that you need? You have a friend like that? You probably do. If you've been a friend to them, you probably do. But think about it now. All right, and here's the response that this person got. And he said, and he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. In other words, they've already settled in for the night. I say unto you, well, let's see. Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. Now, if you have a great need, are you just going to turn around and go home? Brethren, the lesson here in this passage, the inference is, or implication, quite often, this is how we approach prayer. We give up. If the slightest idea that is not going to be answered, or, you know, the feeling or whatever, so often we give up praying about something. Jesus never wasted a word in the scriptures. He never wasted a statement. So why did he tell us this? That at the first request, the person inside said, Go away. We're settled in for the night. I'm not going to get up. Now, we like to tell folks that when we're settled into the bed, aren't we? I say unto you, Jesus is continuing now, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Now, what is that word? You know, except for quoting scripture, I don't think I have, used that word in conversation. Have you? Importunity. But listen, it's the difference between this prayer, this request being granted and being denied. It's the difference. You see that? The importunity that he brings up here is the difference as to whether or not that request is granted. Well, if it's the difference, we need to know what that is, don't we? You got some prayers that haven't been answered? You got some needs that you feel like that need to be addressed? Sometimes the Lord says, wait a while. Because sometimes there's some appreciation that we need to give to some other things before that is granted. Importunity. What is that? Well, just imagine that person went to that house and said, I need some bread. And you heard what the response was. No, we're already in bed. We've settled in for the night. But what if they said, Help me. The idea of this importunity is they continue to ask. They keep coming back. And it's not because they were a friend that they answered. It's because they continued to ask that they got the answer. Now, God doesn't play games with us. But there's times when we need to show more sincerity. We need to have more fervor before we'll have the leadership of the Spirit and the answers to the things we stand in need of. God is so good. He's provided so much for us. We ought to be sincerely thanking Him and sincerely coming to Him and sincerely praying to Him every day, recognizing the great need that we have to stand against the evil in this world and against the evils of Satan that would launch against us and the old flesh that we carry around with us at all times. We need to give it more attention. We need to be more sincere about our asking. That's what importunity is all about, continuing to ask. And if you say, well, how would I have known that without somebody defining it? Well, keep reading. Scripture has God's word has a wonderful way of defining itself that the understanding kind of sneaks up on you when you keep applying yourselves to the reading and keep applying yourselves to thinking about what God said to us. All right? So he says, Yet, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, you would think that just because he was the friend, that would be enough. I'm sure you understand that, though. Yet, because of his importunity, his continuing to ask, his urging, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, all right, he's going to explain what importunity is all about. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Maybe we haven't asked enough. Maybe we haven't been seeking enough. Maybe we haven't been knocking enough. God has great blessings for His children. But there's times when we need to show Him that we're sincere. Show Him that we're dedicated. That's the way He draws dedication out of us and shows us the blessings from it. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son, and he goes on with another illustration, if a son shall ask bread, or any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? If your children ask for bread, or your friend, or nephew, or whoever, somebody asks you for bread, you're just going to hand them a stone? That's a simple answer, I hope. No, you wouldn't do that. Well, the Lord's making this, applicable. He's giving us some practical application for these principles. If he asked for bread, would you give him a stone? What good would a stone be? It wouldn't satisfy the need, would it? Or if he asks a fish, will he, for a fish, give him a serpent? Oh my goodness, a serpent could hurt them. You wouldn't do that, would you? Hope not. Would God do that?
No.
Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Now, you might say, well, that's ridiculous that somebody would do. Well, wait a minute. Do you think that everything you've ever done for somebody was what was the best for them? Now, we don't have that intention, but sometimes what we may have done for somebody wasn't exactly what they really needed. We need wisdom, don't we? To know how to help others. We need wisdom so that we can be doing what is right and what is good and what is profitable in the sight of the Lord, not according to this old brain. We need the leadership of the Spirit. We need a spiritual mind. We need the armor to protect us so that we can, as we go forth in service to the Lord, we can do the things that are needful and profitable in the kingdom of God. We need help. We need the leadership of the Spirit. We need the Word of God to instruct us. We need faith. We need all of these things, all right? So he goes on to say, if ye then, being evil, what does he mean by that? If ye then being evil, well, we're not altogether righteous, are we? Our thoughts often go astray. Our hearts are often in the wrong place. In other words, we're weak, we're limited. We're weak and limited. Let's just keep it there. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, and you do, you try the very best you can to provide for your children, don't you? According to the wisdom you have, according to the resources you have, according to the ability and opportunities you have, you try to do the best you can for your children because you love them. Well, how much more shall your heavenly Father... Now, how much more is that? No comparison. No comparison. He has all wisdom. He has all ability. He has all resources. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? Now, if you're reading this in Matthew, he says, give good things. But in Luke, he says, the Holy Spirit. What's the difference? They're talking about the same thing. They're teaching the same lesson. But Luke, being the physician, is more specific. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? When we are really and truly praying for our needs, the Spirit ministers to us. Our parents and those that love us can provide natural needs and natural things and maybe some emotional support, but there are some things that parents cannot provide for their children. God has to provide it through His Spirit. And that's what we want. We want that wisdom. We want what God provides. We want the way God leads. We want the way those things that God will provide for us to help us to accomplish what would be pleasing in His sight. It has to come from God. There are things that we need that we cannot naturally provide. But God can. God can provide it. He can provide it in abundance. We might have to ask Him more than once, though, in order to appreciate the grace, in order to appreciate the gift of the Spirit, in order to appreciate what we need to be doing, apart from what we think we need to be doing. We need to be asking fervently and effectually. And what James says, effectual, fervent prayer availeth much. Prayer is so needful. And the right kind of praying is so needful. How often do we miss the right kind of praying? Can we correct that? Could we do better? If God would help us, we could do better. Well, let's see. We have Scripture that says, draw nigh to God. I mean, I'm talking to God's people. I'm not talking about dead alien sinners. I'm talking about God's people. We're the ones that can hear the word. We're the ones that can receive instruction from the word. If we ask the Lord to help us, he will. James said, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh unto you. He will. Now, thankfully, he didn't wait for us to draw nigh to him to save us from our sins. We have that glorious blessing. But as far as fellowship and communion and being useful in the kingdom and having an understanding of what we really need to do instead of what we think we need to do, that's going to come through fervent praying. Fervent praying. Oh, I pray that God will bless this to sink down upon in our ears and upon our heart. To help us to give more attention to the right kind of praying. Humble ourselves before God. Confessing our sins before him. Feeling that forgiveness in our conscience. And getting up and going again. Putting the armor on and trusting that God will be with us every step of the way. That's what we need, isn't it? Every day we live, we need the armor of God. Every day we live, we need the right kind of praying to strengthen us, to energize us, to help us to accomplish God's will while we go about making our way in this world. See the priority? It's what we need. So, he said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You know, primarily, so far, as we've gone through this series of lessons, we've talked about individuals. We've talked about how we need to put the armor on for ourselves. But as he ends this up and speaking about prayer, he opens this up that we need to be praying for others. We need to be praying that not only we would be able to put this armor on and face the battle the way we should, but we need to be praying for one another. We need to be praying for our families. We need to be praying for our co-workers. We need to be praying for our church. We need to be praying for our community. Praying for others. Because they have the same needs that we do. Basically. You know, we have our individual needs, but basically we all have the same need against the wiles of Satan. And praying for one another is a wonderful thing. It draws us closer together. It endears us one to the other. It helps us to understand that we have the same God, the same word that we're to be following, the same will of God for us to follow. It draws us together. It gets our mind on the same page. Because if we're not willing to pray for one another, and if we're not doing that, then Satan has gained an inroad, and he's got us right where he wants us. It's so needful for us to be praying for one another and praying the right kind of prayer, seeking his face, the help of the Holy Spirit to intercede for us, to help us to know what we should pray for as we ought, because we don't. But God knows, and he's willing to give it to his children. But we need the leadership of the Holy Spirit. We need this armor every day. So, put it on, face the battle, and be strong for the glory of God. He will help you every step of the way. But may God help us to cleave to him and beg of him what we stand in, what we need to know. And help us to pray as we ought so that we can be faithful to him, so that we can be a positive influence in the kingdom of God, and that we can be a helper and an encourager to one another. Oh, there's so much. There's really no place to quit, but we're going to have to call it quits for there. I'm sure we'll touch on these principles and other things, but may God help us to remember He has given us wonderful provisions. He loves us far more than anyone in this world. And He's well able to supply what we need. And He's very willing to hear our prayers and to help us every step of the way. May God bless you is our prayer.